It's playoff time in the PWHL. It's the most exciting time of the year for any league, especially this league in its brand new season, first time ever playoffs. We're going to discuss that a little bit, and we have a special interview with a player who is indeed taking part in the playoffs. This is the Puck Drop
It's
Podcast.
time for the PWHL Puck Drop Podcast.
So it is May, it is playoff time, and I'm here at the satellite office for Game Day Hockey right here in downtown Toronto. I thought I'd come out in the office so you can see a little bit of the city activity behind me and to enjoy that. Hopefully, there won't be a lot of noise. There might be a dog barking, but I will try to keep that to a minimum, make sure you can hear me. So I'm just having a great time. I am going to attend the first two playoff games between Toronto and the opponent that they selected, which is, of course, Minnesota. We found that out in a Twitter post with Natalie Spooner and her son Rory, revealing that Toronto had done the research and selected Minnesota, and that series will start May the 8th. And then that means we will have Boston versus Montreal in a fierce series, I'm sure. Now, if you are in Toronto and don't yet have tickets to the first two games, please make sure to check out my Twitter and Instagram because I am giving away several tickets to game one and game two. So watch in the next day or two and be sure to follow and comment there, and you could win the giveaway for tickets. I just want to give back. I am going to attend the game. There are more seats, so more people can attend at Coca-Cola Coliseum, which is, of course, a larger arena than Mattamy. And I'd love to share with you all, maybe say hello at the game. So find those links below. Just check out my Twitter, Game Day Hockey. It's probably here on the screen while I'm talking. So there was a press conference to, like a conference call to announce the choice of playoff opponent for Toronto. And we saw the team coaches and captains all speak about their upcoming series. That was really interesting. And I'll have a breakdown of everything that they said in a separate video because there was a lot to cover. So be sure to watch for that. That'll be more or less a bonus episode. And so, once again, just please be sure to subscribe and share. And as I mentioned before, I'm not seeking sponsorship for this podcast and for my channel. I'm trying to do this in just an independent manner. And so you're my supporters. You are the backers. If you're on YouTube, you can hit the super thanks. On Spotify, you can subscribe and have a monthly donation. That would really help. And, I'm giving away tickets. So that's an investment that I'm making. And I just appreciate that you all are watching. And I've gotten to speak to some people at the games. It's been exciting and it's going to continue to be exciting. So I'd really appreciate that. That'll keep the content coming and just thank you. So, on to the series. Here's what it looks like. We've got the first game on May 8th, Wednesday, Minnesota at Toronto. And then the following day will be game one of Boston versus Montreal. And they will alternate May 10th and May 11th, and then one day off before the game threes will resume when they switch locations. And of course, these are best of five series, so they could go three, four, or five games, and then we will move on to the championship series. And one of the big stories, of course, just at the end of the season is the game that Ottawa played in Toronto and failed to clinch a spot as they lost that game in the final game of the season. And that allowed Minnesota to qualify for the playoffs, even though they've been on a losing streak the last five games and seem to have declined a little bit in their play since the World Championships. Boston, on the other hand, has surged during that time. And we saw Hillary Knight really stepping it up after her great performance in Utica. So Boston is trending upwards. And their last game against Montreal, where they qualified for the playoffs, was a battle. It was tied up late, and we're going to talk to someone who played in that game and was definitely involved in that whole last minute tie and then last minute victory for PWHL Boston as they were able to clinch a spot. And that's going to be coming up right after this. I've already revealed who it is. It's Mariah Keppel, defender for PWHL Montreal, and I had a great conversation with her actually the day after that game. So we were able to talk about that game and just playoffs in general coming up, as well as a couple other, you know, interesting tidbits. If you don't know much about her, you definitely want to watch that. Just want to mention quickly, the three stars of the week were announced. We had Ella Shelton. Unfortunately, New York is out of the playoff scenario, but in the two games, she had 2 goals and 4 assists for 6 points. What a season for her. She's definitely in the running for best defender. And Natalie Spooner, who had, of course, the 20 goals as her final tally. In her 2 games played, she had 4 goals, both of them, game-winning goals. And then Hillary Knight, as we said, really stepping it up. She had a goal and an assist in that final game for PWHL Boston. So that's just really boosted their team. And, you know, Hillary Knight against Marie-Philippe Poulin, there's so many storylines that we'll get to in that other video. So with the series starting against Boston, as I mentioned, we interviewed PWHL Montreal's defender, Mariah Keppel, and that's coming up right here. So we're so happy to be joined today by a PWHL Montreal defenseman, Mariah Keppel. Welcome to the podcast, Mariah. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Very tired from yesterday, but doing well.
Good. Yeah, it's been a long, long season. I guess we can actually start there with the game that finished out, where it was a really close game against Boston with playoff implications for them. And your team did not quit as a group, even after going down 3-0. And that was a really, really exciting game. And we thought we saw the first PWHL Mariah Keppel goal, and that was just so exciting, but turned out it was deflected. What can you tell us just about the game and maybe the moment of that goal?
I think the game was obviously a very fast and physical one. Boston, they had their lives on the line that night, so they came out with a ton of urgency, and it truly showed. But I think our team, you know, just came together and was like, you know, we're down. But I think it also goes to show like how our team kind of functions, you know, coming back in the third like that. But in regards to the goal, there was a lot going on in that span of like 20 seconds with one of Tabin, like one of the defense, getting blown up right on the board, coming back. And then I go out there, get a pass from Boo, and kind of see that wide side where I just had gotten like the puck from open, and Bucky just tipped it. So it just went into the net perfectly. And it was great. And I think that was definitely a goal that our team needed. So.
Yes, for sure. I'm sure you thought you had scored for a brief period or weren't sure. I mean, were any thoughts racing through your mind about that, or were you just happy it went in?
I was just happy it went in. I mean, we needed that goal for, you know, so that we could get that third one. But I think it was just a crucial goal. So it was amazing.
Yeah, well, it was great. And congratulations. You know, it was a great play. And of course, your captain scored the tying goal at the time. Do you want to just say a couple words? I mean, everybody has talked about her by now, but, you know, maybe just specifically a moment like that when you have her on the ice, you know, what's that like?
Everything. Like, I think she is just so calm out there, which definitely helps the people on the ice with her, but also on the bench, in the stands, you know, like everyone. Like, when Pooh gets the puck, you definitely want to watch to see what she's going to do. And it's amazing. I have learned so much from her this year. It's incredible.
Interesting. I know she is a great leader and just, you know, leads by example, but any little tidbits especially that come to mind?
Anything like particular, but just like little things, on the ice, or really things that like I didn't like touch on in college, like hockey wise. Definitely she's, you know, just come up to me in practice or, you know, or saying like, even like a good job, in the sense of like, okay, so I know that that is something that we want to see. But then, yeah, just like the leadership of who is amazing. Like, you just want Strive to, you know, do what she does. So it really, you can tell when she's in the room for sure with our team.
So your team had already clinched second place going into the playoffs. And now there's a little bit of a break before the games actually get going. And it's an important time usually to kind of reset and do some playoff preparation. Is there any, you know, specific details that the coach and the team focus on moving into this brand new part of the season?
Yeah, I think our main focus is really just playing our game and showing up as Team Montreal and doing what we do best. I think, you know, we hit definitely a little slump in the season and we're all peaking at the perfect time. So I really think that's it, is just really focusing on us.
Right. And we know that typically in postseason and from your days in NCAA, you know, elimination type games, special teams play and those moments that, you know, get amplified, I suppose, in the playoffs. Is there any special work on that? I don't want you to share any, you know, coaching details, but just habits and things like that. Is that mostly what's being stressed by Coach Chevry as you practice for these big games?
Yeah, of course. Habits are always the number one thing, you know, because the smallest of detail matters. A stick lift matters because that can be a goal. So I think, yeah, focusing on, you know, all the little habits is always the most important thing. And that's what we've been doing.
Right. And just since we did mention your NCAA career, that gives us a good chance to segue a little bit just into your graduation from Princeton, where you were a super successful defender and then graduated. And the timing for you was almost ideal, I suppose, as the PWHL got started. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, when you became aware that this was going to be a possibility for you to play in the PWHL after graduation and before the start of your next phase of life?
Yeah, so I played technically 5 years at Princeton. During COVID, a lot of us took a gap year and didn't go to school or play. So because of that, I definitely hit the time of the PWHL and the perfect opportunity. And I'm so grateful for that because I know, you know, how many female hockey players did so much to get here. And it's really, really incredible. After graduation, I really wasn't sure what I was going to do, whether that was, to play or not. You know, it's just everything just gets put really up in the air. I definitely wanted to, but didn't know if that was the right opportunity for me. And once the PWHL was announced, I was like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to try and, you know, try to get invited to a camp and things like that. So it is all working out, and went to Montreal, and I absolutely love it here.
Yeah, that's exciting. I know you weren't drafted, but you signed as a free agent, and we did have super agent Eleni Demestahas on the show, and she is just a bundle of energy, and she's a great ally for you to have, I'm sure, in that whole process.
Yeah, she is amazing. She helped me out so much, and I'm a big texter. I need to know what's going on at all times. So I was so grateful she could take all my messages every single day during, you know, that time of free agency after draft.
Yeah, so was Montreal the main team that you had your focus on and had focus on you, just a good match there?
Yeah, during free agency, I definitely think Montreal became the team that, you know, I was focused on coming to.
Good. And has the season been all that you hoped for? It's been brand new for everybody from start to finish, I think. You know, expectations were high and the games were more exciting and more physical and things just kept building. I don't know if there's even been any disappointments, but for yourself And for the team, has it been everything that you hoped for?
Yeah, I think it's been everything we and personally I have hoped for and more. I know a lot of people were saying, like, when we even first got there for training camp, it was incredible how professional it was, how many resources we had, like, right off the bat. It is so new, so you have no idea what you're walking into. And the first day when all the coaches and staff lined up and were introducing themselves, I was, like, just taken back. Like, wow, like, they put this together so fast. And not only did a lot of, you know, females hockey players come before this and to create this, but there's so many staff members that dropped what they were doing, you know, to come and participate in this league as well. So it's incredible. I couldn't ask for anything more, honestly, in the first year of professional hockey.
Yeah, I think that's been echoed by players especially who have, you know, worked and waited behind the scenes and worked in less than ideal conditions, probably. Yep. You know, we've heard the stories of having to pay for ice time and many things like that. So, you know, the CBA being in place and having all those resources, I'm sure is exciting just to think, like, I get to make a living at this and do this. Yeah. Let me go ahead and ask you about your D partner, and I think this is just one of the best situations and storylines, just kind of that maybe not everybody is aware of, that Amanda Beaulieu, who we call Boo, was traded to Montreal at the trade deadline, which, you know, there are only a few deals, but that was certainly a big one. Montreal needed help on the blue line with Dominika Laskova being out for most of the season. So you two, with your agent in common, but not knowing each other apparently, are now D partners. What can you tell us about that combo?
Yeah, I absolutely love Boo. She fit into our team in about 2 seconds. She's so funny. She always is cracking jokes, which on the bench is great because I always, of course, we're in a game, but I like to have fun. You know, everyone, you know, likes to keep it, you know, really lighthearted, you know, and she just does just that. So it's incredible. And yeah, we didn't know each other personally before she got here, but we do have the same agent. So yeah. It's been really fun.
Yeah. And what is it like? It's I don't know if you're the tallest player on the team, but definitely next to her, you are. Is there any, like, just any special interest in that visually for you or anything at all? Not that, you know, being a height challenged is a bad thing. She certainly plays a big game, but what is your height and her height? I think Eleni mentioned it, but
I know I'm like 5'9", almost 5'9". I don't know her height specifically.
Yeah, I think Eleni might have said, you know, maybe 5'1" or something in that area. Yeah. Definitely on the smaller side, but I'm sure that poses no problem. Her stick's on the ice, and she has a really big slap shot. So, and she plays physical as well. Yeah. Anything else to say about Boo?
She plays big. She is an incredible D partner to have. So I'm definitely very happy that I get to be her D partner, and same with her. She does have, you know, way more experience than I do with playing professional hockey. So I definitely learned from her as well. So I'm happy to be with her.
Yeah. And you did play for a time with Erin Ambrose. Have those been your only two partners really, or minutes with somebody else?
Consistently, yes. But
and what was it like playing with Erin during the time that you were her partner?
It was really good because, again, that was really the beginning of, you know, the season and everything like that. So I definitely learned quick because she's a talker in a good way. Like, she is all, like, any question I had, she would answer it immediately. You know, always getting, like, little tidbits here and there. So I definitely think we learn from each other, but I definitely learned way more from her during that time. So
yeah, I have heard that she's a talker, and she mentioned that even with Katie Tabin, who is now her partner, I believe, that, maybe she needs to not say everything because the players take it to heart when she does speak. But she's got to be a great veteran presence there as you go into the playoffs as well. And I know you'll be leaning on players like that, Laura Stacey, Poulin Ambrose. Well, we certainly hope Montreal, has a great playoff run, and there will be two series, of course, semifinals, best of five, and then finals also best of five. So good luck with those games. I'm sure it's going to be exciting. Let's try just transition really quick into your other big interest in life, which is fashion design. I know that's a passion for you, and you've worked with or still work with Royalty Sports Performance, designing fashion, and even have your own label. So what's that like, and how do you manage both of those worlds?
It's awesome. And I think I always said this when I, even kind of in college or like before college, like I have so many interests, but I never knew how to kind of combine them all. And I definitely think this year was the perfect year to, combine everything with, game day outfits and things like that. And I really took a liking to it during my gap year of COVID. Just kind of picked up my sewing machine and was, learning through YouTube on, how to make things. And it's gotten bigger and bigger now, like learning more and more. So it's been great. And I definitely think with Royalty, I really got the sense of, how everything works, in regards to design and, just, big picture business, clothing business. And with mine, it's really, just like handmade at the moment. Just things for myself, other people in the league.
Very exclusive, we might add,
Yeah.
definitely one of a kind.
Yeah, definitely one of a kind things right now because I have lots of time, but not a lot of time. So.
Is that your main hobby and excitement in your downtime, so to speak? It seems like it would be a good match to getting off the ice and a lot of noise and activity, and just kind of getting into your sewing machine, as you said.
Yeah, it's very nice. I get back a lot of days and, either throw on a podcast or a TV show that I'm watching and just kind of sit at my sewing machine or, cut fabric and things like that. So it's really fun and it's definitely a little oasis getaway for me as well.
Yeah, awesome. I really love that. Love that. And is there a favorite outfit? Well, I'll put some images on the screen if people are watching, hopefully on YouTube or Spotify, if they turn on the video, because some of the outfits are, I mean, they're all so unique. They're quite different. It's not like, I mean, I think there maybe you have a style, but there hasn't been sort of a, oh, that's a signature, Mariah or Riot, the label design. Is there a favorite that you've done, or anything with a special story behind it?
I definitely think in just in regards to like Montreal, I didn't make the blazer pant, but I just customized it for our home opener. I think that was one of my favorite ones to do. And then I did that for the Ottawa girls as well. So it was really cool that, someone else really liked my design and they wanted to wear them as well. But I think my favorite out of them all was my Bell Center one. The denim. It was a really proud moment for me because normally I make a piece of an outfit and wear it, but this one was completely head to toe, everything that I made. So it was really, really fun and getting to, walk in and something that you made from head to toe is super special.
Yeah, that was a good one. And are they all hanging somewhere in protective?
Yeah, I have them
Or
all hung up.
yeah. Yeah, well, those are collector's items. I hope you can hang on to those maybe until such time as someone wants to, give you $1 million or something. But those,
Exactly.
yeah, this is the original. So many beginnings for you. You can say this was the first year of it. Rye the label is what your line is called, correct? And folks can find that online. Let's do a little plug for, where they might want to look that up and see everything you've done, or your socials for that.
I'm just getting started with it all, but it's just at Raya the Label, just on Instagram for now. But I do post all the things that I've been making, you know, outfit inspo, things like that, all on there.
Yeah, nice. We'll definitely check that out. Okay, so I'm gonna move to a segment, and you know, this also is the first year of this podcast, so things are still, you know, in development as they are with everything that the PWHL has done. So I have a segment I call Six in Six. It's roughly six topics or in 6 minutes, and it's rough. I do have six things written down, and I have a little jingle that maybe we'll hear.
It's six in six.
And they're not going to be too difficult, so hopefully it won't scare you. Are you up for doing our six in six?
Yeah.
Sure. Good. All right. So first one is your favorite player growing up.
My favorite player growing up was Megan Duggan.
Oh, interesting. Is there a reason? I mean, I
grew a liking to her. Again, like, her leadership was just astounding. So being able to, you know, kind of like look up to her growing up and seeing all that she could do was really amazing.
Yeah. She was a force. Is a force for sure. I think we might already know the answer to this, but I'll just, in case, I had this written down already. Funniest teammate.
Oh, there's so many, but I'm definitely going to give it to Boo just because just yesterday she was making a bunch of jokes on the bus and everyone starts laughing.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I'd love to hear that. Okay. Do you remember, and can you describe the first goal you ever scored in ice hockey, not, you know, just at home in the basement?
I don't remember the first time I ever scored a goal.
Do you remember any early goals, or, you know, was there a league that you played in where you were like the best player on the ice and people were saying, we need to get this girl off our team into a higher level because she's killing us, or anything like that?
The only thing I like really remember about being younger is when I would play boys hockey, and you know, there was always things of, oh, there's one girl on the team, there's one girl on the team. So that's really all I remember. And then I just remember someone coming up to me and my parents after a game and being like, you should switch to girls hockey, you know, here's this and this person of contact. And that's, you know, when we kind of started to get into it and move closer to Minnesota at that point. So
right.
Those were the only things I can really remember from being young, but.
Yeah, and were you always this is a bonus question, but did you always play defense?
I did. My brother's a goalie and still plays. So I just kind of got into that position and never stopped.
Yeah, you want to help out the goalie. That's that. What a nice sister. Okay, moving rapidly. Do you have, or if you were called for a shootout, or if you have a breakaway, do you have a go-to move?
I don't, but Biz and I always joke that we always go five hole, so that's what I'll say.
Five hole.
Yep, in practice.
Like backhand, kind of slip it, you know, forehand, backhand.
Yeah, we just try to slip it where we can.
Just, yeah. Get the goalie. Goalies hate that one, you know, so that's pick the one that the goalies hate the most. Okay, and then finally, if you win the inaugural Walter Cup and have a day with the cup, I'm guessing they might do that. What would you do with it?
Oh, I think the first thing I would do is probably bring it to the lake with all my family. I think that's the first thing I would do personally if I got to bring it home, is bring it to the lake for sure.
And that you'll be in Wisconsin is still home for you? Yes.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's where all your family members would be, so that's And then, you know, would there be floating the cup, or, you know, drinking from the cup, or just taking pictures? Mostly barbecues and taking pictures with the cup is what ends up happening.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Could you imagine? You might as well start visualizing it now. It's
Yeah, gotta.
yeah, it's right around the corner. Well, we are gonna let you go. I know you have, practices to get to and playoff games to prepare for. So best of luck to you and the entire team. Really thank you for your time today, Mariah. And yeah, just thank you for joining the Puck Drop podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. Bye for now. So that was our interview with Mariah Keppel. We really enjoyed it, and she really gave us some interesting insight. And she's someone to watch, obviously, in this Boston-Montreal series. Montreal's defense has to step up. I won't say it's a weak spot because they have Aaron Ambrose, of course, but they've had some injuries, and that pairing of Keppel and Boulier is going to be counted on to play a major role. So we're looking forward to that. I'm going to wrap up this episode and we'll move on to some playoff analysis and sharing some of what the players and coaches said in a bonus episode. So thanks again for watching, whatever platform you're watching on. I really appreciate you following and check out Twitter, get some tickets, enjoy the playoff hockey, and thank you again. Bye for now.
PWHL Puck Drop Podcast.